Medieval History, 7th grade. Friday, May 1st. History Unit, 10th to 12th Century Church Reform and Controversy. Lesson 4, The Politics of Humility. Lesson 4, Socratic Questions. Keep this question in mind as you study this lesson. What drives Henry IV's choice to walk barefoot in the snow to Canossa? Objective. Be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Number 1. Explain the spiritual and the temporal reasons Henry IV decided to go to Canossa. Number 2. Who ultimately wins the showdown between Pope Gregory VII and Emperor Henry IV in this episode? Introduction to Lesson 4. To rehearse the story from yesterday, the political dispute between Pope and Emperor began to erupt. The sparks were flying as Gregory VII was accused of practicing necromancy, conjuring up the dead, hiring assassins, and even destroying the Eucharist. Meanwhile, the Pope excommunicated Henry IV's supporters and threatened to do so with the Emperor. The pro-imperial side eventually renounced the Pope, claiming that he had never been elected properly, and called him to step down from his position in Rome. After Pope Gregory VII demanded Henry IV to stop appointing bishops, Henry ignored this demand and responded with a fiery letter, literally calling the Pope damned. Gregory responded in a letter, both excommunicating the emperor and attempting to remove him from the throne in early 1076 AD. Penance at Canossa. It was a bold move for a pope to say that he could deprive an emperor of his right to rule, when it was just a generation ago that the emperors were determining who could sit on the papal throne. As one historian noted, the papal ban was seen to be speedily efficacious. It frightened the more timid of Henry's adherents. It impressed moderate men who had been horrified by the king's attack on the pope. Moreover, it gave the excuse for revolt to raise its head in Saxony once more and to win adherents from among the higher nobility in the rest of Germany. Alienated by the high-handed measures of the king in his moment of triumph, and resenting their own lack of influence in the affairs of the kingdom. Throughout the summer and fall of 1076, the supporters of Henry abandoned him, while his foes became more brazen. At a council held in Trebur, the German princes made a demand of the emperor. If Henry had not received absolution from the Pope by February 22, 1077, he would automatically be deposed and replaced by a new candidate. They even invited Gregory to come to Augsburg to preside over a meeting that month where they would make the choice on who the new emperor would be. Page 17. The Pope was delighted by this news, and as winter approached, he left Rome in the company of Matilda, Countess of Tuscany, who had been fighting the emperor over her lands in Italy. The pro-imperial side also sent out rumors that Gregory and Matilda were more than just allies. They headed to northern Italy, waiting for the German princes to send them an escort to take them through the Swiss Alps. Meanwhile, Henry IV, faced with the real possibility that he would be deposed in just a few months, and with little support in Germany, decided on a bold move. He would go to Italy. While most of the passes over the Alps were guarded by his opponents, he found one guard who could be bribed to allow Henry passage. In December, with an entourage of only about 50 people, including his wife and infant son, Henry began his trek southwards. Chroniclers report that the winter of 1076-1077 was one of the harshest they had ever seen, and Henry had to cross the formidable Swiss Alps. Lampert of Hirschfeld, whose annals is one of the best sources for the events of this episode, reports. He therefore hired certain natives of the region, who were skilled and well accustomed to the rugged summits of the Alps. They were to lead his entourage over the steep mountains and the huge mass of snow, and to smooth the unevenness of the path by whatever means they could for those who were following. When, With these men as their guides, they had with great difficulty reached the summit of the mountain. There was no possibility of advancing further, for the mountainside was precipitous, and, so they said, slippery because of the icy cold, and seemed to rule out entirely any hope of descent. In that situation, the men tried to overcome every danger using their own strength, now crawling on their hands and feet, now clinging to the shoulders of their guides, and also occasionally, when a foot slipped on an icy surface, falling and rolling down for a considerable distance. At last, with difficulty, and for a time, at serious risk of their lives, they reached the plains. The queen and the other women who were in her service were placed in the hides of oxen, and the guides who had been hired to lead the expedition dragged them down behind them. Some of the horses they lowered down the mountainside by means of certain contrivances. Others they spancelled, which means to bind with rope so as to drag, and dragged them down, but many of these died while they were being dragged, and very many were crippled. Very few were able to escape the peril safe and sound. News soon spread of his arrival in Italy, and the Pope feared that he might be coming to capture him, or do even worse. The emperor had many supporters among the Italian nobility, enough to raise an army. Countess Matilda took Gregory to her castle at Canossa, where they waited to see what Henry was planning. On January 25th, 1077, with a blizzard raging, Henry arrived at the gates of Canossa. Here is Gregory VII's own account, written just weeks after, of what transpired. Finally, he came in person to Canossa, where we were staying, bringing with him only a small retinue and manifesting no hostile intentions. Once arrived, he presented himself at the gate of the castle, barefoot and clad only in wretched woolen garments, beseeching us, with tears, to grant him absolution and forgiveness. This he continued to do for 3 days, until all those about us were moved to compassion at his plight, and interceded for him with tears and prayers. Indeed, they marveled at our hardness of heart. Some even complained that our actions savored rather of heartless tyranny than of chastening severity. At length, his persistent declarations of repentance and the supplications of all who were there with us overcame our reluctance, and we removed the excommunication from him and received him again into the bosom of the Holy Mother Church. Once that was done, the Pope held a Mass and gave communion to Henry. Afterwards, they had dinner, and according to another chronicler, the emperor was in such a bad mood that he did not touch his food, but instead spent his time grinding his fingernails into the wooden table. With the final blessing from Gregory, Henry departed Canossa and headed back to his supporters. Number 1. Why do you think King Henry IV walked barefoot in the snow to Canossa to see the Pope? Out of a true desire to obtain forgiveness, or simply for political reasons? Please provide evidence to support your claim. Almost as soon as the event happened, people were debating what was the real significance of the walk to Canossa. Had Henry humiliated himself and become subservient to the papacy? Or was he deft enough that he framed the issue around his personal repentance and the situation had no bearing on his right to kingship? Medieval chroniclers and modern historians have argued about this, but the immediate effect was the threat from the rebellious German nobility collapsed. Only a few diehards continued to oppose him. Meanwhile, the Pope tried to explain that just because he absolved Henry, that did not mean he was still allowing him to be emperor. Within 3 years, the emperor and the Pope were fighting again, with Gregory excommunicating Henry for a second time. However, by this time, the bitterness between the two men had only grown, and Henry would not return to seek forgiveness. Instead, both sides fought to depose one another. and war would be waged in both Germany and Italy. The fighting over the investiture controversy would continue long after both Gregory and Henry were dead. The walk to Canossa has been remembered by historians and artists, and continues to be seen as one of those fascinating episodes that make the Middle Ages so interesting. The broader implications, however, are less clear, but reflect on how the conflict between church and state would remain one of the main themes in the history of medieval Europe. In the end, the investiture controversy showcased the political power of the Pope through excommunication, but also brought to the fore the question of the limits of his power. Did the Pope really have the authority to depose the king from his earthly throne? The controversy also showed that the Pope's power could be strongly contested by the kings of the world. We may perhaps even see a prelude to the Protestant Reformation and the German bishop's defiance of the Pope, even though it was only temporary. Question number one. Who ultimately, quote-unquote, won the showdown between Pope Gregory VII and Emperor Henry IV? Please provide good evidence supporting your answer. This concludes the material for Friday, May 1st.